membership includes an exclusive access to a new Insider Insight show hosted by me, Dr. Dave Janda. Every week, each Insider Insight show includes an opening analysis of geopolitical events, followed by an in-depth interview of a featured guest. Premium members will also have access to our Department of Advanced Research show hosted by Nick Ruiz. This show utilizes Nick's extensive experience and expertise in the world of technology. Bottom line, folks, the monthly cost is less than my favorite deal, a Costco pizza, or in other words, it only costs 30 cents a day. The premium service is the biggest information bang for the buck. I hope you will join our Freedom Fighter team as a premium member service subscriber. Please click on the link at DaveJanda.com.
Lots of people have eaten at the famous Knight's Steakhouse, but did you know they also do catering? The Knight family has been a local institution in Ann Arbor since 1952, when Ray Knight returned from the U.S. Army and purchased the neighborhood grocery store where he had worked as a teenager. Ray was passionate about offering his customers the highest quality meats at fair prices and eventually expanded the grocery store into a very popular butcher shop. In the 60s, Ray began catering everything from small picnics to parties at Bo Schembechler's house. All these years later, Knight's Catering has remained a family affair and continued the same philosophy of high-quality, local products at fair prices. Their catering options are endless, from office lunches and graduation open houses to formal dinner parties, barbecues, and weddings. They work one-on-one with customers to design a menu to fit their tastes and their budgets. For information or an appointment with a catering team member, call Ray's grandson, Don Knight, at 734-904-3553. That's 734-904-3553. The views, opinions, and content of this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of this station or its management.
It's time for Operation Freedom with your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham Talk 1600.
Thanks for tuning in, folks, and welcome back to Wham Talk 1600's Operating Theater. It's the only OR in all talk radio. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from Wham Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker. We're hidden deep, deep inside the People's Republic of Ann Arbor, and we're here every Sunday for you from 2 to 5 Eastern. It does not start and stop every Sunday from 2 to 5 Eastern. We are available, it's like I'm back on call again, 24/7 on the following locations, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Our YouTube channel, also named Operation Freedom. I upload one new YouTube presentation a week, sometimes two. I encourage you to go there. We have quite the archives there right now. In fact, this past week, due to the generosity of the subscribers that are responsible, actually, for our radio show continuing, the YouTube channel to have its existence, and DaveJanda.com to be in existence, the subscribers recently contacted me about an interview we had on a subscription platform with the photojournalist for Donald J. Trump for his presidential campaign, still continues to this day, as his photojournalist, Gene Ho. They asked that I take that interview because it shows such a different portrait of the president that the bought off lamestream fake media will never present. They asked me to take that interview and put it up on our YouTube channel, which I did this week. So when you get a chance, I suggest you go to our YouTube channel, Operation Freedom, and take a look at all the videos. There's dozens of them, but in particular, the latest was with Gene Ho, and it really is a deep dissection on the president, what he's like behind the curtain, as well as his family. Just one of the things that we do. Now, we're also available at DaveJanda.com, where we upload a significant amount of free public information on a regular basis, but we also have our subscription content, which I believe is one of the biggest bangs for the buck in all the internet. 30 cents a day, $9 for a month. You can sign up for a month. If you don't like it, get rid of it. I'm not sure why you would. Because the information you get, you will never see in the bought-off lamestream fake media. And let me just give you an example this week. For months, I have been asked to address the issue of 5G, of the technological, if you will, rolling out of 5G technology. And because some folks are very concerned about some health risks, and they say, hey, you're the prevention guy. For 30 years, you've been asked by governments around the world to consult on prevention-related issues. Just one of your studies has led to the prevention, according to the federal government, of 1.7 million Americans every year, save $2 billion in healthcare costs. So we really want you to dissect this, which I have been doing for a number of months. Now, I came to my own conclusion. However, I felt that it would be best to get an insider within the tech world to step forward and join me in a presentation. And there were a number of folks in the tech world that I consulted with over the ensuing past 6 months. But there was an individual who I was introduced to who came forward. And we have this on our Insider Insight show on our subscription platform. Frank Clegg, who is an icon in the tech world, he is the immediate past president of Microsoft Canada. We do a deep dissection of 5G technology, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I assure you, you will never see, hear, read, or experience any of that information in the bought-off lamestream fake media. It is available at DaveJanda.com. Always available 24/7. Bottom line, folks, every week in our operating room, either on Sundays, YouTube channel, or our subscription platform, we dissect current events that are impacting you, your family, your business, our community, and our country. And we bring to our operating room information and guests the bought-off lamestream fake media either ignores because it doesn't fit in their preconceived politically correct bought-off agenda, or because, folks, they're petrified. They're petrified of what might happen if they actually tell you what you need to know. This show is about your freedom, your political, your economic, your financial, and your health care freedom. I'm honored to have back with me someone who is a freedom fighter of the highest order. He keeps the deep state on their heels by having the courage to present information on his radio network. I encourage you to go to the website of Paul Preston, agenda21radio.news, agenda21radio.news. Paul actually has been found to be one of the 50 most influential and most listened to streaming talk show hosts. Paul Preston takes on the issues surrounding the United Nations Agenda 21, and most people don't even know that the United Nations in 1992, courtesy of George H.W. Bush, who brought it back to the United States, came up with a plan, a design that will control virtually every aspect of your life. But they did do that, and the plan is in effect today. Under the guise of environmentalism, the United Nations Agenda 21 and now Agenda 2030, which is the modern or the updated version, is in reality a means to destroy capitalism and redistribute the wealth of the United States. I encourage you to go to Paul's website, agenda21radio.news. Paul, welcome back to Operation Freedom.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you for having me.
Paul, you always present groundbreaking information, and actually a little bit of a pun on that, groundbreaking, because you're located near the Oroville Dam. And I want you to take us back a couple years about what happened there. And unfortunately, it appears history is now repeating itself based on the information you've brought forward.
Yeah. 2 years ago. Trying to figure out, we got a little echo going on here. 2 years ago, I was sitting in my house, much as I'm doing right now, my studio, and I had to pick up and leave. It was a Sunday afternoon, February 12th, and I was going to put together my radio show for Monday. And the previous day, on the 11th, I had happened to, up to the Oroville Dam, where there was a big crisis going on, that everybody was afraid that the spillway was breaking, and there were all kinds of, you know, evil things happening. And I had made my way up there to look at the break in the spillway. The spillway break actually happened on the 7th. And so about the 9th, I was up there and was watching literally the spillway crumble right before my very eyes. So I had a meeting with the Republican women in Chico, California, which was just right there next to the Oroville Dam. And so after the meeting, I sauntered my way up to the top of the dam and stood right out there and watched the dam overtop for the first time in its history. And it was overtopping over the OG Weir, as it's now known today. And that's the first time in the 50-year history of the dam that it had ever done that. In very few instances do you ever see one of the largest dams in the world come at risk of actually coming apart. But there I stood right on top of the dam, and I watched millions upon millions of gallons of water stream over, almost like you're standing there right next to Niagara Falls, which I've been to Niagara Falls a couple of times, so I kind of get it. But anyway, so I went home and didn't think too much of it. I thought everybody had everything under control, that, you know, they had a break in the dam and, you know, everybody's going to be fine. And then lo and behold, Sunday afternoon, I was up and around and I was moving, and I decided, well, I better go take my information and go down to the radio station. So I went down to the radio station to do some late afternoon work in preparation for my morning show. And I started working and working and working, and 2 hours later, I got up and walked out and looked on Simpson Lane right in front of the studio, and it was parking lot, cars going in the opposite direction of where I was going, and I had no idea what was happening. I got in my car and drove all the way home, about 8 miles, and all the cars were going in the opposite direction on the main highways, and I was just kind of just cruising along, and finally I get a little note when I get home from one of my friends, "Are you all right?" And then I found out that they had called for an emergency evacuation of the whole area in which I was sitting because of possible dam breaking. And had that dam broke that night, had it not been for the heroic efforts of the sheriff, Sheriff Corey Honey, to put a stop to what these clowns, as I would call them, at the Department of Water Resources were doing by allowing the dam to overtop, as I was witness to. And basically the reason why I found out that they were overtopping on the spillway, because they thought that with the broken-up spillway, that the emergency spillway, which had never been used before, would be less destructive to downstream fisheries. That was the reason that I was given when I started to dig into it. And, of course, the rest is a little bit of history here, because that night it was a four-hour wait. The dam could have burst. It could have, well, not necessarily burst, but there could have been a complete destruction of the dam, at least on the side by the main spillway and the emergency spillway, which would have inundated about 50 miles south to, well, actually as far as Stockton as we know now, and probably would have perhaps killed as many as 1 million people in the process. So it would have been one of our biggest calamities in our nation. But the other calamity is that the inundation zone included the largest rice-producing area in one single place in the world, and that's what we have up here in the upper Sacramento Valley. And it would have wiped out, I don't know, 3 or 4 years' worth of rice production from this area. Famine throughout the world would have been the norm. So I said to myself, geez, this is kind of crazy. But now all of a sudden, here it is 2 years later, $1.1 billion later, and we have a spillway that's in critical condition. They tried to test the spillway, and it's turned out that they've never fixed the problems that really plagued the first issue in the 2 years 2 years ago. So we're back to square one now. The water is almost at the top of the dam. It's at about 887 feet, and 890 feet, or 900 feet is, of course, top-off time. And at 901, it starts to go over the emergency OG weir. So we're kind of sitting around thinking, well, you know, we just have a repeat of 2 years ago, and it looks just exactly like that. They've stopped all access to the press to the dam. I've had some reporters from major news outlets that have called me and said, how come we can't? And these are big-time news outlets, East Coast, West Coast, Middle West, saying, how come we can't get access? And I said, because it's a secret. You know, they're trying to keep whatever's up there a secret. But we think we've unraveled what the problems are, and I think we unraveled them actually before they restricted the press now. So they're hiding. They're doing a lot of things. I've actually filed a lawsuit against them. We'll be in court this week to try and get access and get information and get answers as to what's really going on, because it looks like we're in peril again.
Folks, we're speaking with Paul Preston. I encourage you to go to his website, agenda21radio.news. Paul, 2 years ago, there was this hypothesis, possibly based in fact, actually, that this was the situation developed because of a willful negligence. Your take on that?
That's true. It's absolutely true. The dam was not managed and made. And listen, these aren't my findings. They actually did a forensic report and a report on what led up to the disaster. And there's a lot of information contained in the reports. And it points the fingers right at the politicians, Jerry Brown in particular, for mismanagement of the dam, mismanagement of the funds. Basically, as I was talking to one of the premier people down in Sacramento when I was kind of confronting him, and I was with the information that I had at hand, and he looked at me and he said, look, we've been going through a drought for the last 4.5 years. Why shouldn't we use the money that was supposed to be designated for maintenance and repair of the Oroville Dam on the other things? Well, the other things they were talking about was money that was being paid for illegal foreign nationals coming across the border.
And in fact, Paul, this event – you mentioned 2 years ago, if it was not for the sheriff,
right,
this would have been catastrophic. And in your introduction, and this is where we get into the willful part, I mentioned the fact that you really outline and dissect Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, the globalist, if you will, playbook. Educate our listeners on how the destruction of the Oroville Dam fits in with the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 agenda.
Well, one of the major themes of Agenda 21 is basically to seize and obtain rural property, rural land, because of its vast, especially here in the United States, we are perhaps on the planet one of the richest in terms of minerals and other resources on the land in our rural areas. And what one of the main themes that carries on throughout Agenda 21 is this notion that we must take populations and put them in city centers and get everybody off the land. And there's a whole explanation and process by which they do that. Now, in California and also the rest of the nation, one of the ways in which they're doing that is not only just through elections and voting. You know, you even take things, look at Reynolds versus Sims, the court decisions that basically eliminated the Republic form of government and turned every state into a democracy, which is basically nothing for a play for rural America. But if you take a look at the bigger picture in terms of United Nations Agenda 21, it's a squeezing of people off rural land that they're really after. And one of the things that they've come up with is this notion of, quote, rewilding. And what rewilding is an attempt by all these environmentalists and agendists, as I call them, to get people off of rural land and basically turn the rural land and rural areas that have been raped by mankind back to their native and natural state. Now, to do that, that means the elimination of dams. And that's a big thing that's been going on since Bruce Babbitt, when he was Secretary of the Interior with Bill Clinton. And Bruce Babbitt was hired in July as a consultant to Jerry Brown of July 2016 to help him take down dams throughout California. And you got to keep this in mind, that historically it's kind of significant to Jerry Brown, to Oroville Dam. It's one of the largest, it is the largest earthfield dam in the United States and one of the largest impoundments in the world. It's the highest dam in the United States. And the thing is that Jerry Brown's dad built it along with Nancy Pelosi's father. Now, what could possibly go wrong in this situation? Because you got to remember, it was Nancy Pelosi who introduced House Resolution 353, which, of course, in October of 1992, was to implement and bring into the United States United Nations Agenda 21. So the hiring of Bruce Babbitt, he was out here at some of our dams here locally, Englebright. Just months before the dam situation in Oroville, talking about how they're going to tear down all these different dams throughout California. In fact, Kiewit, the company that's doing the rebuild on this dam now, the Oroville Dam, they just won a contract for the deconstruction of 4 dams along the Klamath River just 2 weeks ago. And they're doing the rebuild here on this dam. They're also responsible for being one of the prime builders at the Teton Dam back in 1976, which, when it was rising to the very top, the first time it ever rose to the very top of the reservoir there in up in Idaho, it failed and caused a huge disaster up there in Idaho. And so, you know, we're kind of wondering, cue it, what's up with that? Not necessarily saying they're at fault here in this situation. There's some engineering firms that people are looking at. But what we have now is this attempt to depopulate the planet, the rural area, through rewilding. And listen, this is not a joke. I mean, when I first came across this stuff, I thought, are you kidding? I'm a biologist, Dave. Mm-hmm. I'm an environmentalist. I taught it for years. I get it. But it is a notion by which they're trying to reintroduce native and wild species into unpopulated rural areas, and it really is an attempt to get people out of those areas and basically bring back the rural land to its natural state. And this, it really what it amounts to is a big land grab, you know, by people of quite great wealth, of the world globalists, if you will, those people in charge of Agenda 21.
Well, and the globalists—it's a double positive in their world, evil world—a positive whammy, because it's not only the redistribute as far as the land is concerned, but you wipe out, as you mentioned, the breadbasket, if you will, or the rice basket of the world, which would actually be fine with the globalists,
right?
Because, you know, us useless eaters—we eat too much food.
Yeah, and I know that for the first time, people that you might be hearing it, or even some of those people who hear it all the time might not realize that that's what's happening, but that is what is happening. They really do believe that us useless food eaters, really, as you say, need to go. And they've committed to depopulate the planet. And it's megalomania beyond beyond anybody's imagination. But they think that our world is not sustainable at 7 billion people, that it only can be sustainable at 500 million people. Now, let's think about that. At 7, yeah, I mean, so you're talking about 6.5 billion people being taken off the face of the planet if you follow their rules. Now, remember, there's not one person out there, Dave, that you probably know or I know or your listeners know that ever agreed to this. This was just done and decided, you know, in some offices and in New York and Belgium and all over the place, other than, you know, through the process here in the United States. We've never agreed to any of this stuff. And of course, when we find out about it, we're all appalled by it. But the reality check is the dictators agreed to it.
Well, George H.W., tell me, yes, if I'm wrong, George H.W. Bush brought it back here to the United States in 92. It's been signed off by Clinton, by Bush 2, by Obama.
Mm-hmm. And you're seeing the resistance by Donald Trump. In fact, one of the resistance factors was he's not going to abide by the gun laws of the United Nations. You remember that one that was just he just said that when he was at the NRA, he's not going to agree with it. So you're seeing some major league pushback for these reasons. I mean, for obvious reasons. Now, the Oroville Dam is in a very, very touchy situation right now, even as I speak. You know, we're getting the warnings by all of the people inside to get out, get out, get out. And we've made contingency plans for this is for real. This is real stuff. That dam could come down, and it's going to come down a little bit different fashion than what people might think. But the probability, based upon information that we have that's coming from, listen, it's coming from I'm not making it up. I mean, it's coming from the Department of Water Resources itself. It's coming from various dam safety organizations. We've got experts that have given us information on this. Scott Cahill, Robert B., who we didn't get an interview with him, but we've got all of his reports, who says what is happening for real. Then he, of course, is one of the most renowned of all structural professors and researchers who was brought in during Katrina and other major natural disasters to study the infrastructure problems there. And he's an expert in dams, and he says the same thing. So the things that we're saying, we're relying upon the evidence that's being presented to us by their own organizations. And it's very, very clear that the dam is in a very, very precarious position.
Paul, in our last minute or two here, the New California Movement, how can folks follow what's going on there? And just a 1-minute brief blurb of where things are right now.
Well, New California is going into its fourth constitutional convention, and that's going to be the 17th and 18th of this month in Fresno, California. We look to have a pretty good crowd, and we're going to be discussing sanctuary state. We'll have the Angel Moms there. We're also going to be talking to people about, you know, what is going on in the world of communism and how it's influencing California, of all things, and how we're going to make a new state. We're growing, and people are becoming more aware of what we're doing, and we expect that probably in the next 18 to 24 months we will achieve statehood. And you can get us at newcaliforniastate.com.
Newcaliforniastate.com. And how can folks listen to your radio show? They need to do this.
Yes. We're on Red State Talk Radio, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday live. That's Red State Talk Radio, and it's Agenda 21 Radio. And you can listen to us there. We're also on podcasts. So go to agenda21radio.news or a21r.news to get that information. We have a ton of stories about Oroville Dam, too. They're all up to date as of this morning. And we do change them out every other hour as we get information in. So you can see what the stats are on the dam levels of flows and also the pictures of what's going on with all the leaks on the spillway.
Paul, I'd like to thank you for everything you have done, are doing, and will do. You're an incredibly courageous patriot. Folks, you're listening to Operation Freedom. Dr. Dave Janda broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker here at WHAM Talk 1600.